I have finally got it. It is just our thinking that's holding us back. We are so deeply conditioned to think that this is, that there's no other way. Nothing could be further from the truth. So we have to begin, first we have to be done with this system and then start talking about what we do want. So, fish of the week. One, the matrix choice. We don't want to be cattle. And so we're faced with a matrix choice. We either join with the masters in their project of herding, we the people, or we choose solidarity with our brothers and sisters, and together we chart the course to freedom, i.e. craft a workable plan. Self-esteem begins with a workable plan. Those words of Barack I use so often. Two, is it progress that the paternalistic master is no longer nakedly visible, as in the past, but rather shielded by the state and the economy, aka the free market? Now, this is what Marcuse meant. There's a phrase more, it's also a quote, but the phrase I use a lot, the democratic, quote, the democratic introjection of the masters into their subjects. And this is what is meant by that, that it's also what Foucault, I've been reading, we're going to do a show on this issue of discipline, but it's also what he means when he talks about discipline being instilled into every social institution. That's the democratic introjection that Marcuse is talking about. Is that progress? That we can't see that we are not free? Given Shakespeare's words, all difficulties are but easy when they are known. Three, we, the people, globally, have to have a picture in our minds of the alternative, of what comes next, to fight for it, in order to work systematically towards it. How do we start developing it? A vision can endure hardship. A vision expands power, whether true or false power, exponentially. Four, all accurate, that is to say true analyses of the system, at base resolve to rank, its depiction and effects. For rank is the imposition on humans of an artificial false order, and being false harms. Five, power wants to see, and this is informed by Foucault, this is that discussion we'll have down the road. Power wants to see into all corners of society, instill discipline into all of them. And what I'm arguing, what I want to delve more into, and to keep us hypnotized, that is to say, staring into its eye. When Foucault, Michel Foucault, and I'm speaking about his book, Discipline and Punish, when he says the disciplinary function has been inserted into every social institution, is this just a highfalutin way of saying hierarchy? An ideological launch at, quote, no one should ever be without a leader, unquote, Plato's words? Isn't that virtually the same thing? What discipline means, essentially, operationally, is that we're all afraid we're not smart enough. And that leads us to abandon our fellows and to seek the eye, the approval of power. Power wants to keep us seeking it, holding our eyes, in order to hold our eyes. Now, once we lose our fear, it can't hold our eyes, our fear of not being smart enough. That's why science and technology, aka progress, are such key ideologies for power. Six, how does discipline keep us from seeing the whole? And I'm arguing, I think that it does this by holding our attention. It keeps us listening to the master's voice. It holds our eyes. It keeps us focused on pleasing false masters. For our true service is to the whole, to all of it. 7. Totalitarianism is a self-defeating project. And the totalitarian project operationalized means take everything the people have. Privatize everything is not just the earth, but it's our hands and our minds, because that's the only way to create scarcity. And scarcity is the only way to keep us working. Totalitarianism is a self-defeating project because it requires making everyone come in, which means it unites us, such that inevitably we do come to see the whole, i.e. we must try to understand the whole in order to understand our very lives. So for instance, the political class today, the sheepdogs, are completely internationalized. So our thought must become all-encompassing as power seeks to make its control all-encompassing. 8. Power's development of the global economy unintentionally united us, such that its subsequent attempts to stimulate patriotism to solve its fear of our global unity stimulates instead our longing to be free of power, because now we understand our global interdependency economically, and we understand power's internationalism. 9. The global economy exposes the con nationalism. It forced us to come in, to see from the vantage of the whole, such that subsequent nationalism must become progressive again. And in Revealing Division Toward the End, there's a long, long quote from Karl Popper in volume 2 of The Open Society and Its Enemies, in which he explains how Hegel was used by power to compromise, cause us to lose confidence in a very progressive nationalism. So nationalism is different things at different times. There's all kinds of things that fall within that word, all kinds of concrete historical experiences. So a progressive nationalism is anti-power. That is to say, it is opposed to discipline, to force, to coercion, to disciplining the people. Now, because all the global players want to come in, you know, to play the global game, they want to be an elite. They want to be either rulers or identify with rule. But the people don't. And so because the global players want to come in, it exposes that ruling elites have only one allegiance, to power. So one by one, the global coercive strategy of power to force us all in has resulted in, one by one, the cons fall. A totalitarian goal requires totalitarian control, and global administrative control exposes power. A totalitarian goal requires totalitarian control, and global administrative control exposes power. It can't herd us with national allegiance, and we won't give our allegiance to power consciously.